So let's just talk about this album, The Space Between Us. Can you guys give us a little bit of just a rundown of how it came together, how you started collaborating, maybe a little bit about the recording process?
Yeah, sure. You want to start?
Sure. So I guess it started with improvising without thinking about recording. So really just for the experience of playing. We've played together in a lot of different situations, like new music, classical new music, and different kind of improvising situations with dancers. We both used to play with La 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 Human Steps, so we were on tour together.
This is how we met.
That's how we met.
Yeah.
So we would play in, you know, in dressing rooms and wherever when we weren't rehearsing, trying to just play something other than what we had to play every day, which we also enjoyed, but...
Yeah.
But it really, yeah. And then Ida had found this really great space. It was a floor of a building that wasn't complete yet. And we went there and played a few times. And yeah, we really started enjoying and appreciating the sounds that we were coming up with on our instruments enough to really start working on it and developing something that we kept coming back to.
Mm-hmm. And that was really special because the combination is not the like the kind of combination you often hear. Like it's viola d'amore, viola, and baritone saxophone.
Yeah.
So it doesn't come together very often, yet it has a lot of things in common. I think we just wanted to shape some sort of imaginary space, like sonic space of possibilities that we found, and then we started to carve and compose a little bit more once we got used to it.
Yeah, and I think... I mean, the word space, obviously we used space in the title, so it's important to us. But it was also, it's partly because we kept playing in really resonant spaces, like this abandoned floor of a building.
And the Jesuit church.
And the Jesuit, yeah, the Centre de Créativité Jésus. So, yeah, playing in it like a cathedral context or, yeah, different kinds of reverberant spaces, which is, I think, what allowed us to bring our very different instruments together. The kind of resonance that would happen afterwards and then playing with the resonance and then this idea of playing the space as much as you're playing your instrument, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we started to like to jump and bounce off of each other's harmonics and like spectrum. And with the reverberant acoustics, our sound started really to melt together and we started to hear like one sound that we're creating together, that our sound wasn't as much separated. It wasn't me and her, but it was more some sonic, I don't know, bass we had together.
Yeah, like that the actual connection of the sound wasn't the each individual instrument being compatible. It was that the sounds we made in these spaces would mix together in a way that we could encourage their compatibility in that way.
And enjoy it very much.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, it's a personal title too, like the space between us as people as well. I think that's something that's, we're friends. So it is something that's important to us. It's a kind of conversation. So as you do when you converse with somebody you really connect with, you kind of forget yourself and you're putting these words and ideas into the space that's between you. You know, instead of being two separate people, you become this kind of...
entity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Joanne Itu from Ambiance Magnétique, the record label, asked me if I had something to propose for an album. So I thought about Jen and I. And so this, like, to create something together with, like, pieces and titles and to go maybe a little bit deeper, just... appeared as an opportunity.
And what sort of things do you do in your composition to sort of maybe make that relationship a bit tighter than just improvising?
We repeat a lot of ideas. Like once we have a couple of ideas that just kept coming back and melodies that kept coming back to sometimes as memories of past things and sometimes as things that just happened and we enjoyed them and we wanted to call them back regularly. And we did a lot of sonic games too, like like diverge and converge on one note and see how the sound can become bigger, larger, and then thinner. And I think we listened a lot to each other. I'm super fond of her sound. I spent many hours with microphones and headphones. Yeah. And like, oh, can you repeat that? That's awesome. I love that.
And sometimes also intentional phrases or groups of notes. Like for a while, Ida was working on, I think there were a few different series of notes that you were really thinking about in a few different areas. You were
like an obsession.
Yeah, like, but almost kind of like a chant, like a Gregorian chant or something. Like where it was just a very simple series of notes. And yeah, something beautiful, I think, that was in your mind that you were kind of exploring in different areas. And then we did that. I remember particularly at the Jesus Church when you were...
Right,
you had a residency there, so she had time to work on things and try some things out in the space. And so she would give me a series of notes and say, okay, this is your material, you know, now go. And then she would do the same, and then we would do the same together, that kind of thing. So we have a few pieces, I guess, that came from that time.
Yeah.
And that are kind of a recurring theme or motive, I guess, through the whole album. I think you hear them. I don't know if every single track has some kind of reflection of those chant-like kind of melodies, but they come back, frequently. And I think they were just, they were sort of in our...
In our mind.
Mind and our memory sort of as we were improvising. So then, they have a way of kind of creeping in even when they weren't planned. But some of the others were just things that we ended up, we really like. Let's do that thing where you start on this note and then I imitate you. And then that would become, we would give it a title, like a working title or whatever. Let's call it this. And then... That I think all of the titles eventually changed to be something.
So we got really mixed. We didn't know which track we were talking about. You know that piece? No, but I don't have it on my list. I think it used to be called, like, is it? Oh, is it that one? I've lost it. Yeah. And then there are a few pieces, especially one, Spade Outer Space, that's really edited. So we have a bass track, and then we cut many, many sounds and piled them together, layered them to create something much bigger.
And Ida did all of that. So we kept the team really small. Like, it's any editing or manipulation of the sound that was done by Ida directly. So it's almost all as is, like, the way that we played it, except for Space, Outer Space, which is, where you used multiple layers and...
And maybe Landslide, but...
Landslide and L'Aurore, I think you'd, but overall, we used that as a very, like, selective kind of intentional departure from just the two instruments in a space kind of sound.
Thank you.
too, that I think the elephant in the room maybe would be the viola di amore. I don't know that it's
the elephant at all. Doesn't look like an elephant at all. Have you seen one? I think it's the first time your instrument gets called an elephant in the room.
But, how is that?
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit? I mean, I'm not familiar with that instrument
absolutely.
At all.
Well, it's really rare, so most people are not familiar with it. I've become very familiar with it, so I forget that it's not.
It's
something
so
everybody thinks about as much as I do.
Once you hear it, you can never let it go your entire life.
But it's a stringed instrument. It's made of wood, and you play it essentially like a violin or viola. It's up on your shoulder, but it has more strings than violin and viola do. Some of them only have six. There's no completely standardized version of it, but the version I have that is quite the kind of the most common one, I guess, by now, has seven strings that you play on and then seven sympathetic strings that run parallel to the strings you're playing on. And they run underneath the fingerboard, like across the body of the instrument, underneath the fingerboard, and then they attach into the back of the scroll.
That's so wild.
It's a lot of strings. You have to kind of, yeah, it's a little bit sort of overly complex and, you know, hard to keep in tune and very, like, ringy and hard to play because the strings are so close together, but it's so worth it. I feel like it really appeals to people that have a similar kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Like it really, yeah. The first time I heard it on a recording. Yeah, so it was most popular during the Baroque period. It was kind of invented. People think it was probably influenced by instruments from farther east, so that Europeans had seen like sitars and things like that, and then wanted to imitate that kind of a sound. And some of the look of it, just the way some of the shapes of the instrument are, they're different from the violin and viola. But the body shape is actually like a viola da gamba, if you're familiar with those. It's like the predecessor of the modern violin and viola family. So it's a little less curvy, it's a little more straight, but you do play it up on the shoulder like a violin. Yeah,
I found I mean I listened through all the excerpts online, and I found there was one where it was like a really deep, I don't know, like sort of grainy deep sound. It's a really interesting combination when you get those really low notes in with the Barry sax. They can really really blend together, but it also has like a high, I find that both instruments have like a good low range and a good high range, so you kind of like switch up who's like playing sort of the bass role and who's playing like the higher role.
Yeah, that's something we really like, actually, is to kind of push our instruments past their idiomatic sounds. So if you think of a Barry sax, you're going to think Barry, you know, like
you
low
Barry?
Notes. But Ida, I think that's also credit to Ida's playing. Like, she's really developed that upper range and the multiphonics and has this great control over those high notes that aren't as typical on the instrument. Mm-hmm. So then that opens this whole range of possibilities for us to blend in my higher range or with my harmonics on the strings. We get a really similar kind of timbre, like this kind of whistle or like flute-like kind of straight sound, which is like essentially the harmonics of both instruments.
Yeah. What I really like about the viola d'amore too is that it's an instrument that it seems to be carrying its own space with it. Like it has a space, because with a parallel sympathetic string, when you play a note, it really resonates. So it's like that instrument comes with resonance, and it's like it comes with a space.
It's
on
like
its
having
own.
A reverb pedal built in.
Super modern,
super
high
modern,
tech.
Exactly. No, but so the parallel strings are tuned the same as the upper strings. So when you play open notes on the played on the bowed strings, then the whole instrument plus the sympathetic strings ring at that pitch.
Oh wow.
So like the corresponding string just keeps ringing while you move on and play something else. It's pretty subtle, so recording is actually ideal in the sense of being able to hear that resonance. Like I think when you play it acoustically, then it's best heard from up close. Like it's not necessarily going to be heard in a concert hall kind of setting. You would more hear just the kind of violin, like, be like, what's that sort of nasal violin? So I think it's like, it's really at its best from up close, which is something I like too. It's like you have to get to know it and be be close to it to really appreciate it. But that's something we could do in recording.
Mm-hmm. I think we did a lot of games too of being like really close in the pitch and then being just a little bit apart and hear like the like that kind of vibration and then come closer. Like, I don't know what that word would be in English, but going in like in waves.
Yeah, overlapping waves and playing with the sound waves. Yeah, and in each other's sound. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And you mentioned recording spaces, and last year with Strangeness is Gratitude was definitely a big exploration of like mic placement and I guess working with reverb. Was that an element with the recording process of this album?
No, we were recording in a studio, and we had closed mics and then ambience mic. Did we have six or four microphones? No, we had two closed mics each.
Yes, that's right. Two clubs and then
two room. Yeah.
And then we just, with the sound engineer, we chose the sound that we wanted for each. Well, for the overall album, we really wanted it to have a cohesive sound. Mm-hmm. But then it gets manipulated somewhat from track to track. Like, so the closed microphone will have more, you know, for the string, it has more of the, like the texture of the bow on the string, that kind of thing. And for the saxophone, it has more mouth sound, breath sound, that kind of thing, and the keys as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the farther mic, of course, has the more developed, complete, like cleaner, in a sense, kind of instrumental sound.
Yeah, and like generous acoustic. Yeah.
But we like the grit and the texture and stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
So we really chose, I think certain tracks have more, really feature the textures more than others. Others feature more the kind of
like more global.
Yeah, global.
So it's like we travel closer to the instruments and then far away. But it's really important for us to have the like really close sound. Because the breathing sounds and the sound you make with your bow on the string when you're not playing a pitch, like the sounds are really close. And it's one thing that we really wanted to work on. That we have worked on.
Yeah, it's another thing that we have in common. That's
one connection.
Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily make that connection. But we realized, we both have this texture that's actually so similar when you breathe through the instrument without resonating it.
Yeah,
it has that kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
And it's really similar to the kind of near the bridge sort of... Yeah, or without the string fully resonating, that kind of textural hair on string kind of sound.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like you both sort of explored your instruments in unexpected ways. I guess that would be a product of working with such a big contrast between Barry sax and viola.
Yeah, and I think it's something we both enjoy in all of our playing. Like, we both have such a range from doing, like, having classical training, doing also, like, full extended free playing, where you're going as far from what you know as possible all the time. And then also pop music, songs, folk music, having an interest in that kind of thing too, like music that people make every day and is part of daily life for everyone kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like this shared...
big bug of vocabulary?
Yeah. And bringing all of those things together to kind of, like, so to be able to use extended techniques or non-traditional sounds or whatever you want to call it on our instruments, but to do it in a way, to make something beautiful out of those things, I think that's something we both, well, we talked about it a lot, too, like, just wanting to make something beautiful. Why is it that whenever we decide to go improvise, we always go as far from what we are thinking about as possible in a way, which is also important, I think. Like, it's really important to do that digging and kind of break your own habits. And
it's very important. But then there is also, like, the beauty and the purity of, like, a simple melodic line.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think we were both kind of looking for that, looking for beauty and something personal within improvisation.
Mm.
So, yeah, and this is what we ended up. This is what ended up. It just kept coming out. So we were like, I guess this is the music we make.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I guess finding that sort of lyrical emotion. Yeah, I understand. I see how, like, yeah, I mean, like, in Ida's playing, I know that you do, like, Jane Kin, which tends to be really, like, intense textures and stuff like that. And then I guess Strangeness is Gratitude. It's a totally different place with more of, like, a lyrical melodic lines. And you do like, the pop project, right? Daily Alice.
Daily Alice, yeah.
So I guess it's interesting to use, like, all of those talents in this project instead of just, like,
You have such a big range of music. Like, Jennifer plays from a really Baroque music to contemporary to pop. Like, she's got such an extended vocabulary. When I play with her, I feel like you're that multiple sonic person with, like, so many different knowledge and experience of different type of music. So it's like juggling together, but there are many points of encounters throughout the playing. Maybe it's also because of your instrument that you play so much Baroque and classical. There is all that, like, the tension and the richness of extended techniques, but there is also all the vocabulary that you have of melodic and chords that kind of balances it out, I feel, in such a way that I really like.
Yeah, I would say likewise, and that's something I've been looking for a long time, too, instead of feeling like you're just dressing up in different costumes every day. Yeah. To go to different, you know, it's like, today I dress up as
Daily Alice.
Yeah, tomorrow I dress up as a contemporary musician, you know, it's like...
And then you talk to Baroque people, and they're like, oh, you haven't been playing Baroque music lately.
Yeah, exactly.
What have you been up to? Different things.
Yeah. No, but it is, yeah, that is something that's really important, I think, for both of us, to find, like, what's you, where are you at the middle of all these, in the middle of all these different labels, or even communities that come from playing different genres or different kind of music. It's like, but where am I, if I can do all these things, where am I in the middle of all of that? So I think that's really that's a quest we share that I think really influenced the music that we made here. Mm. So that makes it really, yeah, I feel really pleased with it for that reason too. It feels like very honest, you know what I mean? I think we even made it explicit between us, like, that we weren't gonna try to fit into a certain genre, like,
yeah,
that it's okay if something melodic came out, it's okay if something noisy came out, it's okay if it sounded like a pop song, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So we just, when we recorded, we just played for hours and hours and hours and recorded. And then afterwards went and waded through it all and decided what would make it through the...
Yeah. And then, like you said earlier, things just kept coming throughout our playing. Even, like, I remember one day we were trying... We said, okay, so today we do something really new that we haven't done before. And then, like, that one song just kept coming inside our music. I don't know. I don't even remember how it started. But then we realized that we're in that song again. And so we're like, okay, so let's dig deeper in that one.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. And, yeah, I guess maybe to sort of wrap up, do you guys want to talk about this... pretty big night of improv music on Friday evening to release the record?
Yeah, sure. We'll release the album alongside all of the new things from Ambiance Magnétique.
Yeah, there's going to be a performance from Maxime Corbeil-Perron. I think he puts out some solo stuff. There is one from
Rippleganger,
Book
Away? Rainer Wienz and Maya
Murakami.
Yuki. Yes.
Oh my God, I didn't do my homework. Do you want to go on Facebook? And no, I'm kidding.
There are 9 albums being released, and 5 of those will give performances, including us.
Yeah.
So, and it's free. So
it's at Sala Rosa.
Yeah, and it's, I think the idea is just to make a space for people to come and discover all of this new music that's out there this year. And yeah.
Well, we look forward to it on CKUT. Thanks for coming into studio.
Thank you, Donovan,
for having us.